Jeremiah in our study. Jeremiah has proceeded down the years with different kings, and in the process, the Israel, Jerusalem, Judah, their heart has got harder and harder. And at this point, Nebuchadnezzar has come in one time in 605. He is now coming in at 597. And remember now, Daniel was taken, along with others, was taken into captivity in 605. In 597, Ezekiel was taken into captivity. Now hang on to that, because it'll show up in a bit. Now, so in the process, the heart of Israel is pretty much set. There's no sense in doing much more. They're already set their course, and they are in a state of fixture. They aren't going to change no matter what. Now, so in the light of that, we shared together in chapter 19, in the process that Jeremiah is in the temple. Jeremiah goes from the temple, chapter 18. He goes down south of there to the bank where all the pottery is made. He goes into the potter's house, and the potter is making a piece of pottery, and he takes and gets that message, as we shared in chapter 18. He then proceeds and takes he buys one of those flask bottles, clay bottles, and he takes it, as per instructions, south of there, approximately a little less than half a mile going down, even that, through the wall into the gate, into the valley of the son of Hinnom. And at that place, as you remember, in chapter 19, verse 6, he goes in, and it's called Tophet, we share together. And it's going to be it's where they took junk pottery and rubbish, and among other things, burned in idolatry to Moloch and Baal, burned children and everything in sacrifice. So he goes down there through the wall and takes the pottery. The elders and priests and that are with him. They all come with him, a group of leaders, and he sits and tells them what's going to happen. He breaks the piece of pottery in front of them, and it goes into pieces down onto the ground, upon the ground in a pile of pottery. And he goes there and says, "This is what's going to happen to Israel." And then he marches back up to the temple. Marches back up to the temple, chapter 19, and in verse 14. Then came Jeremiah from Tophet, whither the Lord had sent him to prophesy, and he stood in the court of the Lord's house and said to all the people, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will bring upon this city, Jerusalem, and upon all her towns, all the evil, trial, trouble, that I have pronounced against it, because they have hardened their necks, and that they might not hear my words." In other words, they don't want to hear. Hardened their neck, hardened their heart, and they're set. So that's where he's saying that in the temple. And now he's back. He said it with the elders. Word has no doubt ran ahead to the people that he's coming back to the temple. And in the process, the people all hear the same message again, a message of doom. Therefore, chapter 20. And in chapter 20, you will notice, if I can, in verse 20, verse 1. Now he's in the temple now. And in the temple, now Pashkur, the son of Immer, the priest. Now he's a priest who was the chief governor in the house of the Lord, the chief overseer, ruler, and in the house of the Lord. And now, what's his job? He's the chief, he's the elder. And without taking time to look at all that, to see it, even in the book of Acts, the captain of the temple, he's the head priest in charge of maintaining order, rule, keeping disturbances down, making everything is what it should be. And he is the chief of the temple police. Temple has police. He's the boss. So he's the head of the temple police, maintenance, order, making sure everything is, it's his assignment. Other people are going to have it, but he has it at the moment. Now, so you need to know that. So here's the word gets out of what Jeremiah is doing, and he hears all this same message that everyone else is hearing. And in the temple. Now, so chapter 20, verse 1. And in the house of the Lord, and he heard that Jeremiah prophesied these things. Now, he himself had heard it, actually. And Pashkur smote Jeremiah, the prophet, and put him in stocks. So he went and hit him, put him in stocks, and he did that. Now, remember now, in doing all of that, the priest is going to go and exercise his authority. He has the authority. He's the overseer. He's the ruler. And he's going to smote, in verse 2, going to smote or strike him. That's what he's going to do. He's going to hit him. Now, and he's going to do so in a causative. He's going to cause, to strike, to injure, to hurt, to harm. He's going to strike him with blows. Now, he's a prophet. You don't hit prophets normally at that point, but he is, and he's all upset, of course, and what's happening and how it's going on. Now, in the process of that, that's nothing new. They had Micaiah. We have the Apostle Paul in the New Testament. Our Lord himself. When anyone does anything, they do what they do in a reaction. They got to do something. If you can't outwit them and outrank them, then you have to do something better or worse. Now, over in the book of Amos, just to see it, remembering now, Amos is just showing you another prophet in the same way. And in Amos chapter 7, picking up, if I may, in verse 10, Amos 7 and verse 10. Then Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, sent to Jeroboam, the king of Israel, saying, Amos hath conspired against thee in the midst of the house of Israel. The land is not able to bear all his words, as you know. Verse 11, for thus Amos saith, Jeroboam shall die by the sword. In other words, you're going to die. The king's going to die by the sword. And Israel shall surely be led away captive out of their own land, the Assyrian captivity. Verse 12, and Amaziah said unto Amos, O thou seer, go flee thee away into the land of Judah, and there eat bread and prophesy there. In other words, we, as you know, we don't want to hear. We don't want to hear what you say. Verse 13, but prophesy not again any more at Bethel, for it is the king's chapel, it is the king's court. In other words, don't be saying it in our place, in our little religious places, in our royal places. Verse 14, then answered Amos and said to Amaziah, I was no prophet, neither was I a prophet's son. But I was just a tender of sheep, a gatherer of fruit, a fruit tree picker. That's what I did. And the Lord took me, and I followed the flock. And the Lord said unto me, go prophesy unto my people Israel. And I took God up at his word and went. Now therefore, verse 16, hear thou the word of the Lord, thou sayest, prophesy not against Israel, and drop not thy word against the house of Isaac. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, thy wife shall be as an harlot in the city, thy sons and thy daughters shall fall by the sword, Thy land shall be divided by line, and thou shalt die in a polluted land. Israel shall surely go into captivity forth of this land. So that's the 10 tribes in the north. And lo and behold, the Assyrians came in and took them into captivity. And they didn't like it, but they didn't want to hear the message, but they did. Now, remember now, over just one other place that will help us, jumping way ahead, our Lord's analysis of history, looking back, diagnosis, diagnostic, prognostic, tells you, looking back, this is the light of the what happened, chapter 23 of Matthew. And in chapter 23, remember our Lord looking at the people and the leaders, Pharisees and that. Chapter 23, verse 31. Wherefore ye are witnesses unto yourselves that you are the children of them which killed the prophets. Fill ye up then the measure of your fathers. Ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can you escape the damnation of hell? Wherefore, behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of them you shall kill and crucify, some of them you shall scourge in your synagogues and persecute them from city to city, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Amos unto the blood of Zacharias, the son of Berechias, whom ye slew between the temple and the altar. Verily I say unto you, all these things shall come upon you, upon this generation. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets, and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings. But you wouldn't do it. No, not at all. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. And remember, Titus, 70 AD, levels the city again. Verse 39. For I say unto you, you shall not see me henceforth, till you shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. So the Lord, summing up, looking back in the Old Testament, he said, you have gone and killed everyone I've sent. I sent them early in the morning to warn you, to tell you, and you did not honor them. Now, back over to Jeremiah and chapter 20. And in chapter 20, remember, here's Pashur, the head priest in charge. And what he did, he smote him in chapter 20, verse 2. And not only did that, and put him in stocks that were in the high gate of Benjamin, which was by the house of the Lord. So he put him in stocks. Now, what kind of stocks? And without taking time to look at all of that, you've seen them in different history things and whatever. You've seen them where they have the wood and your head goes in the trough, and as it were, and then the holes where you, even where your hands go in, and then your feet go in. So it's a terribly cramped, uncomfortable position. That's what the word means. Most uncomfortable. Now, so here, what do you do? What did he do? He beat up on Jeremiah, and then he put them in the stock in this place, and he put them in there overnight. That's what he put them in, and he was only there overnight, but that's enough to say the least. And that was located where? Here's the temple. Up and down. Here's the court of the temple, and on the north end of the court. Temple, the court in the north, and Benjamin's up there, north of there. And in that, when you go outside the temple court in the north side, there's a gate, and that's where he was. That's where the stock was, right outside where everyone's going to see it. Everyone coming through into the city, anyone going into the temple in the main gate, everyone's going to pass what? Jeremiah in the stocks. He's the man that's been telling them to fix it. You guys, you're going to be in great trouble. Now, so having done that and then letting them go, as it were. So verse 3, And it came to pass in the morrow that Pashur brought forth Jeremiah out of the stocks. Then said Jeremiah unto him, now Jeremiah's response, like Micaiah's response, Paul's response, our Lord's response, he said, why did you hit me in the cheek? Now that's why, reacting. What are you doing? What do we do wrong? We're doing honoring God, and here you are reacting wrongly as if we were the enemy. We're trying to help you. Therefore, verse 3, then said Jeremiah unto him, Lord, hath not called thy name Pashur, but Magor-Missabeb. Now, and you want to understand, that's what he's calling his name now. And you want to take that to see it. The word Magor has to do with terror, to be afraid, to be shrink from fear, to draw back afraid, terror, horror, afraid, awfulness. And then the Missabib has to do with in every way, on every side. In every side. Terror, on every side. Your new name is Magor Missabab. You are terror. You are a terror on every side. That's his new name. Now, and then, having said that, he now goes and explains and helps them understand. What do you mean, a terror? What do you mean, I'm a terror? Verse 4. Before I pick that up, you may want to go over, if you like, over to Isaiah for a moment. In Isaiah chapter 30, remember now, here's Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, and the issues and all of that. And in the process, what did Judah try to do? They didn't turn to God. They turned to Egypt to see if they could get Egypt to bring some of those chariots up and help them, protect them. And Isaiah is telling of it before it even occurs. Chapter 30, verse 1. Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me, that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit. Why? That they may add sin to sin. Why don't you want to deal with anything? Because I want to be able to keep going and keep doing, thinking what I'm doing. Verse 2, that walk to go down into Egypt and have not asked at my mouth, whether they should, to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh, and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. So now, keep reading, you're going to go, and I'll read sliding down for time's sake, verse 5. They were all ashamed of a people that could not profit them, nor be a help, nor profit, but a shame and also a reproach. The burden of the beast of the south into the land of trouble and anguish, from whence come the young and old lion, the viper, the fiery flying serpent. They will carry their riches upon their shoulders of young asses, and their treasures upon bunches of camels to a people that shall not profit. For the Egyptian, in other words, Israel, Judah, Egypt is going to be a losing situation for you. Verse 7, for the Egyptians shall help in vain and to no purpose. Therefore, have I cried concerning this? Thy strength is to sit still, and you won't do it. Stop. What you're doing? I'm not. That's human nature. And why do we reap what we sow? Because we don't stop. Now, picking up if I can, in the light of that, that's Egypt. Back over to Jeremiah, and in chapter 20, Now, keeping in mind, if you would, here's Jeremiah, and Pashkor is what? Now, it is very possible that remember the priests are all doing, they're all in cahoots, the priests, the prophets, all of them are there, the people, the leadership, and they're all there in together, they are doing what they're doing, and they're continuing to do what they do, and they aren't going to change. Now, and they are looking to Egypt to come. Now, that's a very, but if you were there, what do we need to do to keep ourselves from Korea, North Korea? What do we need to do about this? And we're looking for some ally, are we? We're looking for somebody to come and help us, and help us, and help us. Isn't that the world? And if it isn't one nation, it's another. Saudi Arabia is looking for us to help us against Iran. And you've got all the different scenarios. That's what they're doing. So what is Israel, Jerusalem doing? Looking to Egypt. God said, you're going to be sorry. You're looking to the wrong person. They're never going to help you now in your situation. And God has already labeled Pashkor. He's already called him a terror on every side. You are Mr. Terror on every side. Now, chapter 20. Translate that a little more. Jeremiah is going to spell out what they already know in great detail anyway. Chapter 20, verse 4. For thus saith the Lord, behold, I will make thee a terror. There's your little word, terror, and magor, just ahead of it. Terror, magor. For thus saith the Lord, behold, I will make thee a terror to thyself. You're going to be a terror to your own heart because of what you're doing. You're going to reap personally in your own mind a terror. And I will make thee a terror to thyself and to all your friends, all the friends that you have got lining up with your thinking and your feeling and what you want, and we need to trust Egypt and Nebuchadnezzar's never going to come and we're going to be able to work this all out. Verse 4, I will make thee a terror to thyself and to all thy friends, and they, your friends, shall fall by the sword of their enemies, and thine eyes, you're going to see it, Pashkor, you're going to look and watch Nebuchadnezzar kill your friends and family. That's what you're going to watch. I'm going to have you watch it. I could have you killed, but I'm not going to do that. I want you to watch it. And all of it coming in is a huge terror. The whole thing, as you know, from all kinds of ways we've read it, that Nebuchadnezzar is going to come in and the bodies are going to be no place to bury them in Tophet and all of that, which we shared. Now, back up in chapter 20, verse 4. Thine eyes shall behold it. I will give all Judah into the hand of the king of Babylon. He shall carry them captive into Babylon and shall slay them with the sword. Moreover, I will deliver all the strength of this city, all the wealth of the city, all the precious things, the belongings, the treasures, and all the precious things thereof, and all the treasures of the kings of Judah. You're going to ransack, take everything that you want, and strip the city of anything of value. And I will give, verse 5, and I will give into the hand of their enemies, which shall spoil them, plunder them, and take them and carry them to Babylon. So the enemy's going to come in, 586, going to come in again after 597, and they're going to come in. This time they're going to level the city. No more fooling around. Israel has been extremely disappointing. Now, as a people, conquered people. Now, so therefore, now verse 6, now God's going to speak directly to Pashkor, And thou, Paschal, and all that dwell in thine house shall go into captivity, and thou shalt come to Babylon, and there thou shalt die, and thou shalt be buried there, thou and all thy friends to whom thou hast prophesied lie. In other words, you're up in the front, you're in the government, you're in the place, telling them, and none of it's true. And they believed it and applauded it, and loved it, as you know. None of it was true. And they're all going to turn around, as you see. And I'm going to send you, I'm not going to kill you. I'm going to have you go captive. You're going to look back, and without taking time to read. Well, you can do it. Hang on, we'll do it. Chapter 22, picking up a thought in light of the context. Verse 10, 22:10. Weep ye not for the dead, neither bemoan him, but weep sore for him that goeth away, for he shall return no more, nor see his native country. It is better if you were killed. It was better that I let you get killed, but I'm going to make you go all the way to Babylon, and you're going to watch and live with what I have done, and then you're going to die. And all your friends, you're going to see them die. And that's what's going to happen. Now, that's what I'm going to do. So, Paschal, you are a terror. And everywhere around you, Nebuchadnezzar's going to come in and be a terror. And the reason, part of it, you're going to get blamed by the people. That's what people do. Then you did this. Why did you tell? Ever hear that? Why did you tell us this? It wasn't true. It was never true. But you told us. Aha! That's what people do. They got to blame somebody instead of themselves, and off that's what they did. Now, that's what's going to happen in an awesome way. And Paschal the priest played the prophet also, in the sense, because they did everything. The false prophets and all of them were commended by the people and by the priests, the prophets, and the kings. Now, in the light of that, so here's the movement, and it's an awesome movement. Now, wow. And that's our world, if you really be objective about it. And look at it. We're looking for anyone, all kinds of ways to solve things, And hoping they're solved. I mean, then we blame somebody for not having it work. We got to blame somebody. It didn't work. Why do we listen to you? All that kind of thing. Now, so therefore, I don't want to be left with that. God, that's an awesome thing. I look out my window. I look at the newspaper or something, maybe. Of the radio, television, whatever it is, and the news and the world and what's going on, Korea and all those things. Ooh, okay. Jeremiah, help me. What do I need to know? Over, if you would please, simple, if I can. Over in Psalm, if I can. On your way, I hope you haven't moved. If you move your pages a little slower, you'll pass Jeremiah 6. See, on your way to Psalms. And Jeremiah 6, I want to make a mention of it, just so you see it quickly. It's this word, terror. A terror on every side. And the word is used several times. Jeremiah chapter 6, may I go directly? I'm going to read verse 23. They shall lay hold on bow and spear. They are cruel and have no mercy. Their voice roareth like the sea. They ride upon horses, set in array as men of war against thee, O daughter of Zion. Nebuchadnezzar is an unmerciful. Babylon is an unmerciful people. They just aren't going to do it. And, sliding in verse 25, go not forth into the field, nor walk by the way. There's nowhere to escape. For the sword of the enemy and fear, there's your word, fear is on every side. There's your two words. Magor Misabib. Fear is on every side. Wow. So where am I going to go? God says there's nowhere to go. Ah, over a psalm now. Psalm 33. And if I can, Psalm 33, to get the flavor of it. David, no doubt, on the psalm. Picking up, if I can, in David now. God is the wonderful, wonderful creator. And get the flavor of it. Verse 4, for the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them, by the breath of his mouth. He gathereth the waters of the sea together as in heap, and he layeth up the depths in storehouses. Verse 8, let all the earth fear, that's a different word, fear, fear to quake, to tremble. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. And there's your word, terror on every side. Don't let Pascua be the object of your look. Don't be looking at him. Look at me, said God. Let me be a terror unto you. Don't let him. Remember our Lord said that. Don't be afraid of people, Matthew chapter 10. Don't be afraid of people that can kill your body and beat it all up and bury it. Don't worry about them. Worry about me, who holds your soul. That's the one to think about. Don't worry about them. Now, what are you saying, God? I'm the creator. Stand in awe. And whenever you're surrounded with all the different things that could go all kinds of ways, and there's a terror on every side. God, in the middle of it, are we going to look to Pascor? Are we going to look to trying to solve it by Egypt? Are we going to look how? We're going to look to you. Stand in awe of me. Let me be a terror on every side to you. Now, in the light of that. And, verse 9, for he spake, reason, he spake and it was done, he commanded and it stood fast. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen, the nations, to nothing. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. Now, so I told God said, I'm the one. You're fearing the wrong people. You're afraid of the wrong things. You should have a healthy respect for who I am. Let me be the center of your little world, of the big world, of the whole world. Let me be the center. Now, having said that, in Psalm 33, now we're going to advance a step, Psalm 32. Psalm 32 flavors Psalm 33. David again. And in Psalm 32, picking up if I can. So here's David. And he, blessed is, verse, you know, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, in whom whose spirit there is no guile. And here's three words for sin, three words for forgiveness. And God, blessed, blessed. What do you mean, blessed? To go straight. Blessed, what do you mean? Happy is the person who goes straight. Not crooked, straight. Not like this, all over the place, straight down the road. Blessed, blessed is that man, a woman. Go straight. Now, and thus, David, you had your problems, but you looked to God, and God rescued you from yourself, and therefore, verse 5, I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Selah. For this shall every one that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto thee. So, David, you're all excited about God's wonderful saving grace. And that is something to be excited about, to be forgiven. And that's the key, you know. Are you forgiven? Are you enjoying being forgiven? Difference. Are you enjoying being forgiven? And if you are, that's going to be conscious. It'll help us. Keep us in the right mood and right thing. I'm being forgiven. I'm being, right now, forgiven by God's wonderful grace. And I don't ask for it. David didn't ask for it. He said, I confess my sin. God did the forgiving. Even New Testament, especially after the cross. Now, come verse 7. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me. You're my hiding place, God. You're going to hide me. You're going to cause me to be hidden, protected. That's right. And thou shalt preserve me from trouble. You're going to be able to preserve me. It means to look upon, to watch to God, to watch over. You're going to preserve and watch over me in the light of trouble. Thou shalt compass me. You're going to do that. I am. Compass means to surround, to encircle. You're going to surround and encircle. That's right. Thou shalt compass me with songs of deliverance. So here we are, and here's his Pashkor, and in the center, here's all Israel, and the whole thing is in a big circle, and Nebuchadnezzar is circling it, coming in, pressing into the center, and everyone is being pressed by the terror on every side as he comes in. And awesome, awful things as happens in history and happened on that day. Now, having come in, verse 7, chapter 32, God, you're going to be my surround. You're going to surround me. That's right. I'm going to go, and you're my hiding place, right? You're going to guard me, preserve me from trouble, and you're going to surround me. You're going to surround me. You're going to go and encircle me. And you're going to do that, and I'm going to be surrounded. Now, Pashkor, you're surrounded by people that all followed your advice, and you're all in trouble. Now, what are we doing? God, here we are, and you surround us. So where are we going to stand? In the middle of your wonderful presence and look to you. That's what we're going to do. And when we look to you, God, we're going to have the benefit of your wonderful hiding in you, hang on to that, and your guarding, and your surround us. We just did it a little bit on Sunday somewhere in Job, and Job, Satan said to our Lord, you have put a hedge around Job and his whole household, his sheep, his goats, his camels. You put a hedge around him. No one, not devil said, I can't touch him. Unless you take the hedge down. And God said, I'm going to take the hedge down just to show you. Now, God, what did you say, David? What did you understand? God surrounds me and encircles me. So in the middle of the thick and thin, trouble, Saul wanted to kill me. The people would like to have their problem with me. The enemy would like to get me, etc., etc. The lion and bear might have tried, but they're going to lose. The Goliath is going to lose because I'm looking to you, God. That's right. Thou compass me, surround me with songs of deliverance, wonderful songs to cause me to escape, to be free, freedom. You surround me with joyous noise of deliverance. That's what you do, God. Wow. So you make it so it's wonderful. I'm standing in the middle of the horrible, horrible mud hole, quicksand, as it were. And God, the quicksand or no quicksand, think of Psalm 46 and all those things. Though the earth would open up and swallow you, it's all right. It's okay. What do you care if the earth swallows you? Oh, that's an awesome thing, you know. Wow. Huh. So, you're going to surround us with songs of deliverance, and therefore, what do you expect? That's what you're going to do. So if we look to you, that's right. I'm not going to get caught up in a posture, and I'm not trusting somebody that's trusting Egypt or trusting anybody. You're going to trust you, God. That's the whole thing. And if I understand all the other stuff has to be done in a worldly sense, but I'm just saying, as a believer, if we were back 100 years ago or so, we might be different. But you'd have to have a believing nation, which we don't have. And if you had a believing nation, I don't know who could touch you. I don't think so. It wouldn't happen. Now, but, here we are. So God, what are we going to do? Well, we're going to look to you. And verse 8, I will instruct thee. That's right, I'm going to come and instruct thee. I'm going to cause you to be instructed, causative. And I'm going to teach you in the way which thou shalt go, and I will guide you with mine eye. Only, now all of that's wonderful, but don't be as a horse or as a mule that hath no understanding, whose mouth must be held with bit and bridle. In other words, you can't control them without some means of doing so. And if you can't control them, they won't come with you. They won't go with you. Do I have to go and put a bit and bridle on you before you'll follow me? That's the question. Is that what I've got to do? Treat you like a horse or a mule? And put a bit and bridle so that I can control you? Is that what you want? You see? I want you to be very teachable. Remember we said it 100 years ago almost now, the very beginning, long time ago. So long ago. When we did this, God wants you to be like a little feather in the flow of the water. God's river of wonderful grace. And you just sit like a little feather. And you don't fight it. You just thank God for his kindness and his grace. And you just go with his wonderful flow. The outworking of his goodwill for your life. Thus, why do I have to have bit and bridle? Now, to help you. Now, so now. Sliding over, if I can, in closing, over to Psalm 31. 1, 2, 3. All David, all each one building, only I'm going backwards. Psalm 31. If I can. Now here's David. David's being persecuted by Saul and all of that, King Saul. And in verse 1, in thee, O Lord, 31:1, in thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me. There's your word again from Psalm 32. Deliver me. Rescue me. Rescue me. Not in my righteousness, in your rightness, God. Your righteousness is the only way to get delivered. Bow down thine ear to me, deliver me speedily. Be thou my strong rock, for an house of defense to save me. For thou art my rock and my fortress, therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. Pull me out of the net that they have privily hidden, for me, for thou art my strength. God, I can't catch all the traps as we shared the other day. You can't. All you can do is keep looking to the God and the traps and tricks and all the things are there, but you're looking to God and he gets you out of them, in and through them. No temptation is taking us with what? Such as is common to man, so don't get all upset about things. If I let it happen, there's a way out of it. Otherwise, I wouldn't let it happen. So be of good cheer. And God, we're getting it. Aha. Uh-huh. Now, sliding down, if I can, all the way down to verse 13. I'll have to read verse 11 for a little. I was a reproach among all mine enemies, but especially among my neighbors, and a fear of mine acquaintance. They that did see me without fled from me. In other words, they don't know what to do with me. Verse 13, for I have heard the slander of many, Fear was on every side. There is your little word again. Magog, Misabib. There it is. Terror, terror on every side, on all sides. For I have heard the slander of many. Fear was on every side. Terror was on every side. While they took counsel together against me, they devised to take away my life. Now that's Jeremiah again. Now, verse 14. But I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God. Ah, with time, at least you get read it and let it sink in. God help us. Verse 15. My times are in thy hand, not my hand, thy hand. Deliver me from the hands of mine enemies and from them that persecute me. Make thy face, cause thy face to shine upon thy servant. Save me for thy mercy's sake. God, I'm looking for your smile. We've shared that before. I'm looking for your smile. That's what I'm looking for. Looking for the smile. In the meeting I had the other night, a couple of people. Wow. Wow. They're looking to see God's smile. You have God's smile. They didn't say that. Smile. Do you have God's smile? God, I want you to smile. And he is. He's delighted. We've said it 1,000 times. He's delighted. So here's Pascor and Israel, and we want to learn from them. Jeremiah, there's a way out. Israel, there was a way out. David had it before you ever arrived, but you never paid attention. All you had to do was look to God. Not Egypt. Look to God. Doctors, lawyers, Indian chiefs, medicine, and everything, all of those are wonderful things, but they're all limited. And they don't answer the wonderful outworking of the will of God. They may include it, but they don't answer it. Only God can. So we look to God. And thou shalt, I'll say it another way so you don't even question it. Exodus 20, thou shalt have no other what? Gods before me. In any way, shape, or form. No one, no wife, no husband, no kids, no job, no health, no wealth, no government, nothing, no one, just me. That's what I'm looking for. You'll have my smile. God's smile. You can't beat that. In the worst conditions, God, your smile.